This is a true story of Oscar, quote, Curly, unquote, McClure, born in St. Louis, Missouri, 11/25/1925, age 45. Educational background, a college graduate. Speaks five languages fluently. Employment record, ex-entertainer, an ex-salesman, an ex-social worker, an ex-teacher. His criminal background, a drug addict. In 1946, arrested for illegal sale of liquor in a St. Louis speakeasy. In 1952, Indiana State Farm, theft, spent 60 days. 1957, 5 years in a federal prison, sale and possession of narcotics. 1964, 2 years, Indiana State Penitentiary for forgery. Presently, unemployed, undergoing drug rehabilitation. Presently, concerned with fighting drug addiction in this country.
You know, Curly, when we was driving, you know, early in the office, you mentioned the fact that, what's this about, I wish I had a Cadillac ball guy shot?
Well, I was looking at my arm, and as I see these tracks, you know, tracks, that's the terminology they use for these scars on my arms, and I guess the result of, I guess that's what they're from, the result of sticking a needle in them over a long period of time. I just wonder sometimes, looking at those tracks, how much money actually was shot up, how much dope was shot up. If I had the money that I put in my arm, man, I imagine I could buy a whole fleet of Cadillacs.
Now, you say you've been shooting now. You say you started shooting when you was about 16.
Well, I wasn't shooting at 16, no. I started smoking pot. Drinking wine. In high school, you know, that was the hip thing to do. But I didn't start shooting, actually injecting myself with narcotics until some years later. But I was in that environment. I saw a lot of young cats that did start using drugs around 16, 17. Many of whom exchanged the schoolroom for the pool room. I guess that started it all.
How long would you say you've been shooting? Or were you actually shooting?
Well, since about 1948.
From 1948.
About 23 years.
About 23 years.
Right.
What would you say the average dollar they have it that you had, and about how much did it cost?
Roughly around $100, $150 a day. Yes, it is.
Look, okay, so at about $150 a day, let's say that you were shooting, how much would you have to steal let's say how much with merchandise? What was your basic thing?
Well, stealing was one. Yeah. And then again, I could talk pretty good, so I'd do little con games and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the major portion of it was gained through stealing.
Oh, you're boosting?
Boosting, going downtown to various stores and various shopping centers and hiding merchandise under my clothing and walking out of the store with it and taking it to a so-called fence. But they don't give you the full value of the merchandise, what it's worth, that is. You get maybe a third or even less than a third of what the actual merchandise is worth. So in terms of how much I would have to steal in order to get, say, a $150 habit taken care of. Three times that much, around $450, $500 of merchandise.
$500 a day you steal.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that back like $150. Would you take it all, or you steal part of the day and then get a fix, or then what would...
Usually you go out in the mornings or whatever time is right during the day that the sales force is reduced, maybe around noontime even. And you just work continuously until you get the amount of merchandise you think you need to sustain your habit. Now, what happens is when you come in the evening, after you've finished, it's just like a job, after you've finished work, you take your stuff to the fence and he gives you your money. And then you buy enough drugs to last you that day and hopefully enough for the following morning, so that you'll have that morning fixed before you go to work.
Okay.
The next day.
All right. So you got a downtown gig, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about, so you say $150 a day, that's almost $1,000 a week. That's, in fact, that's over $1,000 a week.
Right.
So $1,000 a week, right?
Roughly.
That's what was necessary to supply you.
Roughly.
Time 52 weeks, that's $52,000 a year over, you say you shot for 20 years?
Around 23 years.
23 years. That's $1 million worth of stuff.
That's right. So you see, I could have had a fleet of Cadillacs or anything else I wanted materially. You know, that's what's really one of the drags, looking at it strictly from the economic sense. Of course, I wouldn't even try to attempt to emphasize the economic aspect of it, because there are other far more important aspects of drug addiction. But that certainly is an important, that economic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
you mentioned the fact that when we were coming down in the car, that you mentioned about you were talking about something about pushers and shooting up in the, what the pushers. What were the pushers? Were they usually addicts or what?
You know, I've never known over two or three pushers in my life who weren't addicts.
Who weren't addicts?
Who were not addicts.
Okay.
Because at this level, and when I say this level, I mean the street level.
Okay.
Mostly all pushers are pushers hyphen addicts.
What do you mean by that?
You never get to see the big guys, the guys who really make the big buck. And when I say the big buck, I mean $100,000 a year. Better men, you know.
Okay.
Mostly all the addicts, pushers I know, are guys who have 150 nickel bags, and that's a small one-shot size of a package of heroin or cocaine, whatever the case may be, whatever the drug may be. He's got just so many of those to sell, and he gets a portion of the sale. For example, if the stuff costs $5 on the retail market to the consumer, the street addict, then the pusher gets, say, $3. Or rather, no, the man who supplies him gets $3, and he, the pusher, gets $2.
Mm-hmm.
And then he may get a few bags for his own use, for his own consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So he does it to keep his habit going. Now, I'm not saying this to minimize his involvement or to glorify his activity. But I think the record needs to be set straight, because so many people think that every time they hear the term pusher, that there's some sleazy individual who slides up to some school kid, you know, and on the school ground and says, "Hey, Junior, and you want some heroin?" It's not that at all. All the guys I've known, and this has been over several states in the Union, who sold drugs, sold to fellow addicts like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I know of no concentrated activity among black addicts to get to school kids to right. induce them to use
drugs. Right. Let me ask you this: Have you ever had to push into yourself?
Well, yeah, I push some. Sure, I push some in order to maintain my habit.
You did.
I didn't do it consistently. And the only time that wasn't true. I was about to say the only time I tried, I got busted, but that wasn't true. I got busted for going out into the streets, getting some drugs, merely $7 bags, for a so-called friend of mine who was in the company with a treasury agent.
Mm-hmm.
I got 5 years as a result. But as far as pushing consistently and living high off the hog and buying Cadillacs and split levels and, you know, all these goodies that people are supposed to make selling drugs, that never happened to me. I shot all mine up.
Colonel, you got a lot of marks and scratches and lines on your arm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you, is it basically just on your arm, or you got them other places?
No, just basically on my arms. I was, I guess, I'm more fortunate than some. A lot of addicts have had to go in their legs, some in their jugular vein and throat, neck, that is, and some in their... I know one case, one guy who went in his forehead, in that large vein that runs right down the middle of his forehead, and incidentally, he caught some kind of disease. It broke out into an abscess, and he's got a great big nasty mark there for the rest of his life. He'll probably carry it to his grave as a result of that injection.
You were telling me about a guy who was really uptight and went to Cleveland, who was shooting some dope. Evidently, he was an addict. And what's this about? He took somebody's bag?
Yeah. It's a young guy who's right here from this town who was very well liked by many of his contemporaries. Rather bright young lad who went astray and got into the drug crowd, got into using dope. And he went to a small town in Ohio. I don't think it was Cleveland, another small town. Columbus, Toledo, Lima, somewhere. At any rate, he started selling drugs for some people there. And they gave him a certain amount of drugs to sell. And instead of him selling the drugs, he used them himself. So after having used them, he had to get in the wind, so to speak. He had to take it on the lam. He had to run. Because they would seek retribution. They'd do something to him, hurt him in some kind of way. So he came here and he stayed about 3 weeks and he went back. And I guess they were pretty incensed at him, to say the least. They slipped him a $5 bag of drugs, which was not really drugs, but rat poison. And he injected this rat poison in his veins. And if you've ever seen a rat who's taken rat poison, you know that this rat's carcass swells up in death, bloats, and that's what happened to him after he took that rat, injected that rat poison into his veins. It just went all through his system, and it killed him, and he swelled up grotesquely, and his skin turned almost black. It was a horrible thing to see. A young man.
Colonel, let me ask you this. What about, I've heard that once a junkie, always a junkie. What's to that? You shot over $1 million worth of dope in your arms, and is that true, or can you ever really clear your system up, or what happens?
Well, first of all, drugs is it's both mental and physical, and even though one may clear himself up physically, I think mentally. Drugs are always a part of a guy's psyche. I don't think you ever really get rid of a habit. I think you can become an inactive addict. I think there are two stages, active addiction and inactive addiction. Mm-hmm. And at any time, the inactive addict may get back on active status.
Now, when you told me that you were involved with a lot of entertainers who had big names, not necessarily say that they used the drugs, but you, at one time you told me that you had a good career ahead of you.
Right.
What was happening then?
Well, I was going around the country with various bands and combos, some of whom were name groups. I won't go into naming any of them, but top flight musicians, and many of them got high off pot, smoking pot, and some of whom, as we well know, I'm not letting anything out of the cat, letting the cat out of the bag. A lot of people already know that many musicians and entertainers ultimately gravitate toward narcotics. And this is what I believe kept me from succeeding materially as an artist in show business. The fact that I got hung up on drugs, and every time I'd be on my way to the top musically, that drug activity, that addiction.
What do you mean you're on your way on the top musically?
Well,
for example, what are you talking about?
Well, when you're talking about on your way on the top, you're talking about making a salary, say, of $500 a week or better.
Okay.
Then you're no longer a C musician or a C entertainer. You have three grades, A, B, and C. You go from C to B and B to A, of course.
All right.
And then the class C musician, the lowest one on the rung economically, makes anywhere from $100 to $500 a week. Class B musician makes anywhere from $5,000 to $1,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Class A musician makes from $1,000 to $100,000 a week.
All right.
So I was on my way up the ladder. I had gotten up to over $500 a week, you know.
Well, how did the drugs affect you? How did the drugs affect you?
More money?
You know, I mean, you drugs. Say, okay, well how did the drugs affect
well,
your career?
Oh, right. Well, sometimes it would be time to go on the bandstand. See, the band had to hit at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And I wouldn't have made my connection by 10 o'clock.
What connection?
My drug connection.
All right.
So instead of being on the bandstand at 10 o'clock, like my employer, the cafe, tavern, or club owner wanted me to be, the rest of the group, I was somewhere running around town like a crazy man looking for somebody with some dope. So people won't continue to employ you as a singer or MC or a musician or whatever you are.
You had money in your pocket.
Oh yeah, I had money.
But you were trying to find a push.
I was looking for somebody with some dope, right. I missed several engagements. For example, I was with a big name band one time and I had to go from Columbus to New York. We were playing a one-nighter in Columbus, Ohio. We were going on from Columbus to New York the next day. Well, I missed the darn bus. So instead of going to New York with the band, I ended up coming back home. So I missed out on the whole engagement. You know?
So you were...
I got fired from the band, you know.
You was looking for the pusher.
Yeah, I was looking for the man with the drugs, the miracle man, the man with the happy dust.
Yeah.
So I thought,
uh-huh.
Yeah, which really misery does.
So let me ask you this. When you go to a town like that, and how do you find a pusher?
Well, you usually go into the sleaziest part of town. At least back then. Let's see, I'm talking in terms of, say, what? 5-10 years ago.
Okay. All right.
You usually go into the ghetto, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes one to know one. You can always recognize someone who's using drugs. There are certain physical symptoms that one can recognize if one uses drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own little society, and you go into a part of town where you think the drugs are being sold and bartered and used, and you run into an addict, and if he's congenial enough and not overly suspicious, he might turn you on to a connect or even cop for you himself, and
all right.
Your problems are over.
Now, you mentioned the fact about the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read the papers every day where that at one time when we were driving up in the car, you mentioned the fact that in this city you knew all the addicts. What's taking place now?
20 years ago in this city, I knew every addict, I believe, both black and white.
How many would you say, probably?
Oh, roughly 25, 30, less than 50.
20 years ago?
20 years ago.
How many would you say we got now?
Countless number. You've got hundreds of youngsters from 16 to 21. Kids I've never even seen before running around like wild people looking for and using drugs.
Now, you mentioned before, let's get back to the ghetto thing.
Okay.
You said that when you would usually go into a town, you would always go to the ghetto.
Right.
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 Where do we stand today?
Drugs are still in the ghetto, but they're not the exclusive monopoly of the ghetto as they were years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs have gone to the suburbs, as you well know. You can find drugs anywhere now. You can find drugs on the college campus now. Your institutions of higher learning. Drugs are being bartered, sold, and used. So it's no longer a matter of going into the black ghetto. And when I said ghetto originally, I was speaking about the black ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
This is where drugs were originally dumped. The people in the ghetto, I suppose, had more of a need to escape than some of their more fortunate brothers who were in better economic straits and other more habitable parts of the community,
mm-hmm.
suburbs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no drugs in the suburbs years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in the ghetto. And even people who were in the higher echelons of society, if they wanted drugs, you'd see them. They'd come to ghetto to buy drugs. But now drugs are being used by housewives in suburbia and their children.
You mentioned the fact that you in Harlem.
Right.
Some alarming things were happening there.
I tell you, man, I ain't never seen nothing like this before in all my life. I went up to New York last year with a group of people, friends of mine, and we just decided we'd walk through Harlem. I hadn't been in New York since for quite a number of years, and I just wanted to note some of the changes. Man, the town, the area, Harlem, let's stick to Harlem, was overrun with youthful addicts. And when I say youthful, I can't be too emphatic that these kids that I saw were 7, 8, 9, 10, preteens. You know, in New York, there have always been these large tenement dwellings. And almost, it's a ubiquitous thing to see the stoops, the steps in front of the tenements. And kids are just lined up on these steps, 3 and 4 deep, nodding under the euphoric effects of narcotics. It's almost as though an entire section of town had just given completely away to narcosis. It's a saddening, it's a shocking thing to see so many young people, kids. And when I say young people, I don't mean teenagers. I'm not talking about the 20 to 30 group. I'm speaking about kids, man. Young, innocent children who are sticking needles in their arms.
That many people taking drugs, and you don't think there is any kind of plan or anything?
Say, man, I don't know. But sometimes I am prone to believe in this genocide thing that I hear some of the more militant black groups talk about, you know, because it seems like young black kids, not only in New York, in other large urban communities across the length and breadth of this country, are just going hog wild over drugs. Now, I can't say that these drugs are being planted in the black communities, you know, to destroy black youth. I can't say this, but I do know that I feel that there's some connection. I certainly do, especially with the rise of this, Planned Parenthood thing, where you find all your Planned Parenthood centers in the black ghetto. But if there was a plan, let's just concede or assume there was a plan by some unscrupulous whites in this country to commit genocide against blacks, the plan certainly backfired, because as many young whites are availing themselves of drugs and are certainly availing themselves of the facilities of the Planned Parenthood organizations as are blacks. So,
have you been involved with any people that who foresee or see any kind of thing like this possibly happening as far as...
I'm not involved personally with any, no.
Right.
But I read consistently, and some militants are saying, are trying to prove that there is a connection. And they make a damn good case of, you know, make a damn good case of it. I'm just not involved to the extent of actually knowing about it. And I don't want to indict,
right,
you know, right, without being damn sure before I make this blanket indictment.
Right. Yeah. What about $1 million worth of... worth of dope that you've shot in 20 years, man, and that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of bread, baby.
How you must have spent some real trying situations sometimes, and some real close escapes, and connected with some all kinds of things.
Man.
Tell me one of the stuff that really sticks out in your mind as far as when you really wanted to fix and got hung up and couldn't get the bread or something like that. Can you remember anything that really sticks out in your mind?
Well, man, I remember one time. My very first attempt, I went on after this to be more successful in stealing, but my very first attempt, man, at stealing resulted in a fiasco. I went downtown to Boost to steal something to get my fix money. And the item that I decided to steal was women's underskirts, underclothes, print slips, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what the hell you call it.
Yeah, okay.
Underslips, right. Undergarments, well, yeah, women's lingerie.
They don't wear many of them anymore.
Right, right, it's passé now. But, you know, I suppose this is far more humorous than it is on a serious note. But when I came out of the store, under my clothes, slips were hanging like a bridal train, and everybody in the store was aware that I had stolen the slips while I thought that I was going out of the store with them perfectly concealed on my person. And naturally, before I got to the door, store detectives were rushing toward me, and I broke out the streets and started running down the street, and clothes were I was just leaving a veritable train of slips behind me, and a motorcycle cop ran down the street the same direction I was going and cut in front of me and pulled into the curb, and that's how I was apprehended. I ran right into his arm. It's more funny, but hey, the horrible part of it was that I had to spend the next 3 days in jail and undergo the terrible rigors of withdrawal. And that was really the terrible part.
Were you shooting heavy then?
Not as heavy as I did in later years. But it was heavy enough for me to undergo some real serious withdrawal symptoms.
Let me ask you this. In terms of monies that you ever got, is when you were going through, basically you were trying to get that $150 a day. It wasn't much over that. Did you ever try to get anything over that? Were you just basically trying to fulfill?
No, basically trying to fulfill that need.
So you're just like an animal out there.
Just like an animal. Hey, listen, you know I made as high as $150 a day and didn't have money to pay my rent.
What were you doing?
Shooting it up.
You shot up $150 a day and couldn't pay the rent.
And couldn't pay the rent. Hey, a lot of times I would get up the next morning to go to work and would have a great big fat $20 shot of dope and wouldn't have money to buy myself breakfast. But I'd have that narcotic. So man, I say that in terms of the standpoint of, you know, just of health alone. How a guy can get hung up, get so far, get so strung out on stuff till he neglects the very things that keep a man alive, such as eating.
What about the guys who are not so good at boosting?
Hey man, dudes do everything to get some dope. It ain't just the boosting. Cats steal there's all kinds of ways to make a buck illegally. Some of which I know and some of which, of course, I can't know. But kiting chicks. In New York, they call it downing digits, or they did. Stealing checks out of mailbox and cashing them. Guys mug people, you know, hit them in the head and take money. Now, I haven't run into so much of this violent type of activity in the quest for bread to shoot, you know, to get narcotics. But I know that it does happen. In the case of females, of course, you know, it's a prostitution bed. And some of the hassles, I imagine, some of those girls have to go through in selling their bodies to get some drugs really makes it questionable in my mind as to whether it's really worth it or not.
What about you know, like the stealing bit and everything. You know, a lot of people get a lot of fun out of that. Well, what do you know as far as stealing?
I guess essentially I'm not a thief because I don't dig stealing. I don't, you know, to me it was a matter of having to get the drug, being faced with the necessity, the actual physical and mental necessity of having my medicine. Because after a while, narcotics become medicine. But it's a hassle, man.
Curly, let me ask you something. Is it easier to get drugs now than it was, say, 10 years ago?
I think it's a great deal easier. Well, there are more drugs, and naturally there are more, since there are more drug users, there would be more drugs. So I think drugs are a lot more easy to acquire now than they were some years ago.
Now, you mentioned going into towns before, sometimes it's pretty hard to get it. What do you see that's happening on the street today?
Well, it's really surprising. You can see, if you know what's happening, you can see drugs actually being sold on the streets. It's more open, and it's sold right on the street corners in Dopeville.
What's Dopeville?
Well, once again, usually the ghetto is where it's most open at. Now, of course, I like to go back to the suburb a bit, but you know, they're selling it there too, and on school campuses. But my area of activity has been, for the most part, in the ghetto, and that's where I see things mostly. So that's the place I'm talking about.
What about the price of it now? Has the price risen considerably? Is the price basically the same?
No, the price has risen considerably over the past decade, I'd say. Oh, about 1955, drugs were being sold for much cheaper. I'd say that the price has risen at least five times, whereas an individual shot, a $5 bag now, or a $5 capsule now, would have sold for only a dollar some years ago. So the price has risen approximately five times.
What about the contents? I hear things like the drugs now are not as strong. I'd say the heroin or whatever they were shooting in their arms.
Right.
Has the contents changed any?
Considerably. Drugs are a lot weaker now than they were some years ago. There are more people using them. There are more people selling them. So naturally, there's more drugs in being used. And there's not more drugs in circulation. And unscrupulous dealers and pushers cut the drug with cutting agents. And consequently, the product is a heck of a lot weaker now than it was some years ago.
With you having a $150 day habit at that time, and the price has changed now, what would you say the same habit would cost you per day now?
Five times as much as it did then.
So that means that the guy's really got to be out there doing all kinds of things in order to get his
drug. Got to do a lot of stealing. I think it's been estimated that in this town, through shoplifting activities, the merchants downtown lose approximately $2 million a year.
$2 million a year?
Right.
Just in this town alone?
Just in this small town alone. Well, I would say small town, medium-sized town.
Curly, what real feeling did you get when you were shooting drugs?
Well, it's a high. It's a euphoric feeling, as I've said before. It's a feeling of well-being. You don't feel pain if you have any physical ailments that result in pain. They're diminished considerably. I don't want to run the risk of popularizing drugs by saying they make you feel good, because this feeling doesn't last very long. And it certainly diminishes as time passes and drugs become more of a medicine. You take them for medicinal reasons after you really become seriously addicted, because without drugs, your body doesn't function properly. You're in constant pain. So most addicts, after a number of years, take drugs just to get themselves back to normal rather than getting high. You seldom experience that high feeling that you used to get when you first started using drugs.
What kind of different drugs did you use?
Well, I guess I ran the gamut. Heroin, principally. But I've used cocaine, Dilaudid, all the opiates, the opium derivatives, marijuana. I've dropped pills, barbiturates, and amphetamines. I haven't had too much experience with the hallucinogens, but I have had LSD one time, and I guess I had a bad trip, so I haven't fooled with that anymore.
What kind of trip did you have?
It was a scary thing, man. My hands turned to blood, and I had no feet. Or so I thought. I was under the effects of LSD, and it was quite a scary thing. And the fellow that I was with, he had to hold me because I was in serious danger of doing something to myself, hurting myself in some way.
You mentioned cocaine now. How did you use that?
Well, I both sniffed it, snorted it, as they say, and I injected it in my veins as well. Cocaine has a very different high, and it lasts less longer than any of the other drugs, and you can really spend a lot of money fooling with cocaine. Cocaine in the vernacular is usually referred to as a rich man's dope, a narcotic.
What about the heroin?
Heroin is garbage. Heroin is the final distillation of opium. It's what they throw away medically. There is no known medical use for heroin. And it's, as I said, it's pure garbage. It's nothing. It's junk.
Do you use drugs now?
Occasionally, but very, very minimally. I don't have the addiction that I had at one time. It's an occasional thing now. I won't claim that I've completely stopped using drugs because that wouldn't be true. But when I feel very, very badly, very poorly, that is, physically, I'll manage to get a small shot of drugs and it diminishes any pain that I have in my body.
So right now you're in a state where you're trying to just quell the pain.
Right.
Rather than trying to use this for getting high, anything like that.
I haven't been high in years.
Well, what would you estimate, say, your habit is now?
It's so negligible that I wouldn't even want to give a figure.
Curly, how did you manage to kick the habit, so to speak, or bring your drug use down to what it is now?
Well, first I tried to kick cold turkey. Now, that term cold turkey means to withdraw from the use of drugs without any medical assistance, without any medication. I tried that unsuccessfully a number of times. And then I went into a drug abuse program. And through their detoxification program, their rehabilitation program, I managed to get away from the use of drugs to the extent that I am now.
I hear a lot of terminology that's being used now. I hear guys say dropping pills, and tell me some of the names and some of the things that they are currently seeing now, the terminology that they're using as far as drugs are concerned.
Well, of course, there's a very extensive vocabulary that has sprung up around the drug culture. Far too many for numerous for us to mention here, but some of them are, well, heroin, for example, is known as horse or hulse, skag, stuff, jive, while cocaine is called snow, a girl, and then marijuana is known as grass, reefer, light green, smoke, pot, and then there's just tons of pills being used, but some of the more popular ones are Seconal and Turinol. And Seconal, they're called Red Devils in the vernacular, and Turinol is called Christmas Trees. And then you have your diet pills, which a lot of youngsters are referring to as overs and unders, uppers and downers, etc.
How can a parent or a relative or a friend usually tell when somebody is under influence of some type of drug?
It's very difficult to tell when a kid is using drugs, but there are some telltale signs. Watch him closely, and if any of his habits, the consistent habits, change radically. For example, a child who is quiet and normally very taciturn, if that child should all of a sudden become very talkative, very verbose, that doesn't mean he's using drugs or, you know, but this is one of the signs that the individual undergoes an almost radical change. He almost becomes the opposite of what he formerly or originally was. Then there are the physical symptoms, a runny nose, of course that could be a cold, couldn't it? Kids who lay around and sleep a lot, who don't seem to have any energy to do anything, they could be experimenting with dangerous drugs. I would say, parents, watch your children. Keep a very close eye on your kids. Go in their pockets occasionally. I know it might sound like, you know, kind of sneaky, but go in their pockets and see what they've got on their person, because a lot of kids will carry stuff in their pockets.
What advice would you give to youngsters now through your experience? You shot $1 million worth of dope in your system. What advice would you give to young people right now about your experiences? What would you say?
I would tell all young people who are even mildly contemplating using drugs, or even if they've started using drugs, change your environment. Seek out new friends. There are a lot of youngsters who are not using drugs. Avoid those places where people congregate that use drugs. It's not chicken not to use drugs. It's smart not to use them. But in the main, I would say, there's an old saying about assimilation bringing about, association rather, bringing about assimilation, birds of a feather flocking together. Stay away from those youngsters and that environment wherein drugs are used, because it may rub off on you.
What would you tell a parent if they found out that their child or children or family member were using drugs? What advice would you give to them for an immediate thing?
I'd say to do everything the parent could do in his, excuse me, in his or her power to close that generation gap. Get to know your children better. Listen to what they're saying. You know, as parents, a lot of times when our kids talk to us, we don't hear them. We're so busy in our workaday world or our routine that we just don't take the time to listen to what our children are trying to say to us. And many times a kid is trying to tell his parent that he's gotten hung up on drugs. Get to know your kids better. Close that generation gap. Learn to identify with your children, their activities, and by all means, know who their associates are.
Thank you.